Drive with Anna Vito on ABC Radio Canberra.
The big news of today, that ANU staff and students were shocked in June, you may recall, to learn that their university had been the subject of a sophisticated and sweeping cyber attack. As you may recall, the university announced that the hackers had accessed up to 19 years' worth of data belonging to about 200,000 people. Well, today, the Australian National University has published a report stepping through how those hackers broke in, how they hunted for information and the type of information they gained access to, and what the ANU did and are doing in response. Now, the headline for the university, I think it's probably fair to say, is that despite those original warnings in June that up to 19 years' worth of data had been accessed, ANU now believes, and I'm quoting, that the hackers took much less than the 19 years' worth of data. But they can't say precisely what was taken or who took it. So when the uni says much less than 19 years' worth of data, what does that actually mean? I asked the ANU Vice-Chancellor, Professor Brian Schmidt, exactly that question a little bit earlier this afternoon.
So although the actor, when they came in, had access to this 19 years' worth of data, we've been able to, through the forensic work, figure out how much actually was exfiltrated from the university. And we think about 1/3,000th of the entire database was taken, so it is a very small portion of the information there.
What was taken?
So as we've let our staff know, that it involves personal information like names, addresses, date of birth, emergency contact details, payroll information, academic results, bank account details. So it is things of that ilk, nothing super sensitive, but of course information that I know people would not want to have widely shared.
Who among those 200,000 people over 19 years has been affected? And do you know?
So we don't. We know that the access, you know, that the people who came in had access to any of those records, but we also know that they clearly did not remove information from anything other than a small fraction of the names. We don't even know if specific people were targeted. We really don't know anything about what they took.
But if we look at what we've just spoken about already, Professor Schmidt, isn't there a contradiction here? Because on the one hand, the ANU is saying, don't worry, it was much less than 19 years worth of data. But you yourself said just now, and also as part of this report, and I'm quoting, that we have not been able to determine accurately which records were taken because of the sophistication of this attack and the fact they largely cleaned up their tracks. So how can you actually be sure that much less than 19 years' worth of data has been taken if you can't say for sure what's taken or exactly what these hackers were doing while they were in your systems?
So I think the first thing to say is we're not telling people, don't worry. This is a serious breach, and we have treated it incredibly seriously as an organization. What we can say is 1/3,000th of a database of about 2 terabytes was removed from our site, exfiltrated. But we don't know what fraction of that data were taken. So I can't really provide people assurances that their data were not taken because we do not know. So I think it is fair enough to say that every person is going to have to take this information within their own personal context. That's why we've been very transparent, is everyone knows their own circumstances. We have given them all of the information we know so that they can act upon it as best as possible.
Can you even be sure about that quantity, though, Professor Schmidt? If you're saying you can't say for sure exactly what the hackers were doing, the report also notes that in some cases compressed files were used. Is it actually that the university knows, or are you not? I mean, there just seems, I have to say, as a layperson, it's quite confusing to see how those two positions are logically consistent.
We have provided as best we can the results of our forensic investigations. Those forensic investigations, noting that the people who came in, the actors we call them, has done their best to hide their tracks, but they didn't completely hide their tracks. And so we can go through and figure out to an order of magnitude of how much information was taken out of the system. So it's not a precise measurement, but it clearly demonstrates that they were unable to take the entire database out as we had previously thought. Again, that should not give any individual person any comfort whatsoever. We are all, given the information we have, equally likely to have had our information targeted. But it is a piece of information that we have learned. And so rather than try to simplify the story, I want people to know exactly what we do know.
You're hearing from ANU Vice Chancellor Professor Brian Schmidt on ABC Radio Canberra this evening. Speaking of the actor involved, you've described this attacker as extremely sophisticated, using methods that shocked even the most experienced Australian security experts. Who were they?
So we've had the opportunity to work with basically all of the agencies of government. They prefer not to have individual names mentioned, but we have had access to the best resources that Australia has had. We've used overseas groups as well who have specific expertise. We have done our best to access the best people available to us, and so that's who we've used.
It's interesting. That doesn't really answer my question, though. Do you know who did this?
Do I know who the attacker was?
Yes.
No. Unfortunately, we have no information that tells us who the identity is. There is obviously intense speculation, but I do want to warn people that when you speculate without information, you often make mistakes. And so the reality is we don't know who did this attack, and we don't even have clues to it. So we are very much in the dark.
When you say you don't have clues, I mean, some of those clues that have been publicly canvassed include the fact that, as noted in this report, none of this information has shown up on the internet in illegal trading or in attempted fraud or identity theft, certainly clues that you might expect if a criminal syndicate was behind this. And as you're very well aware, Professor Schmidt, of course, this has been widely canvassed in media reports that a state actor, some have identified China, has the capacity, the sophistication, and potentially the motive to undertake such an attack. Does the ANU and do the people you've been working with know who did this and you're choosing not to say for cybersecurity reasons, or do you actually not know?
No, we really don't know. So we don't know the motivation. And I'm afraid that when you have a group that is this sophisticated, they don't just leave a calling card behind. They are very careful about what they do. And so it is always very difficult to identify who they are.
What was the motive and what were they looking for in the ANU systems?
Presumably, they did make a beeline for this particular database. I have already told you the type of information that is in it. It's not profoundly sensitive information. It is information, as I said, I think each of us, including myself, would rather not have shared without my consent. But so the motivation to me is not at all clear why someone would spend so much time and effort to get at this data set. It seems sort of out of proportion.
The ANU Vice Chancellor, Professor Brian Schmidt, is your guest on ABC Radio Canberra this evening. I'd like to talk about the university's response to this hack. The actors launched the attack on the 9th of November 2018. Why did it take until April 2019 for the ANU to first detect an intrusion, that is to say that something looks a bit fishy, and then until mid-May before the ANU actually could determine that a breach had occurred? In this report, you say the university acted quickly, but does 6 months actually count as quick?
So the sophistication of the actor, and again, this actor was able to use what we would call zero-day exploits, exploits that have never been seen anywhere, to bypass a fairly sophisticated system of cybersecurity in place. Because they had that capability, they were able to evade detection. It is only because we decided to go through and do what we call a threat hunt, where we go through and look through our entire system at evidence of intrusion, and we were able to pick up a few anomalies. And that work started in 2019, so several months later. And we did pick up an anomaly. And through, again, about a month of forensic work, we were able to bring the things together to realize that our enterprise system had been hacked. So it is It is hard work. It is a capability that most organizations in Australia do not have to even go through and do that forensic work. We have undertaken it. As soon as we understood that we had been infiltrated, we immediately set in motion a plan to let people know as transparently as we could what had happened. There was about a two-week gap once I knew what had happened until we reported. Those 2 weeks were making sure that the system was completely secure, because one of the things that happens when you make announcements that you have been compromised is you become a target for the entire world to try you out with their own wares.
And just finally, in regards to how the university is going to deal with threats like this in the future, because the report does note the university could have done more, the sophistication of this attack, in this case, an original entry point, the break-in, if you like, a phishing email to a senior member of staff, which didn't need to be opened, no link needed to be clicked, no attachment downloaded. All that had to happen was for someone to preview that email and the hackers were in. So what does the university do in the face of a threat like that? And what can you say to students and staff to reassure them that their data will be safe?
So, yeah, that spear phishing that started this whole thing off was an exploit which was compromised systems all around the world. I believe the software vendor has fixed it. So you are open when things like that exist, but you need to have multiple layers. And so we are looking at having layer upon layer of protection, but the layers of protection need to be workable for us to continue our job as being a world-class university. And so it means rethinking our entire way we approach our digital footprint, how we look at what we call authentication. Are passwords the right way, two-factor, or do we need to even rethink those very fundamental bits? So we are putting in place best practice now, but we are continuing to evolve and to share information both with the government agencies and our fellow universities so that we can collectively, as organizations around this country, react to something that is changing quite quickly but is affecting everyone, whether or not they realize it or not.
And your words to current and former staff and students today?
My words are, I am very sorry that the university was unable to protect this information. I continue to do my best to secure the university against any future breaches. And I do appreciate their patience. The university, once again, is highly committed to making sure that we do everything that we can to make this a safe workplace for the people who work here or interact with us.
Vice-Chancellor Professor Brian Schmidt, thank you very much.
Thank you.